It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Welcome back to the Yankees Center podcast. We're back. We're sad. We're mad. We have a lot of different emotions right now. Tom, Eddie, how are you guys doing?
I'm bad. I'm just pissed off, plain and simple.
You know,
I'm just annoyed, very annoyed.
Luke, I'm gonna make a superhero comic book movie reference here.
Okay.
You know those pics of Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne with the hair and the bruises under the eyes?
Okay.
He looks tired.
Is that you?
That's me right now.
Yeah, I mean, that game, well, really the whole series ended up being very draining. You know, even when we managed to win that game 4, while I did feel very confident going into that game 5, there was always this underlying feeling that we're just going to choke again. And you know what? We did. It's the same story with this team. It feels like it's never going to end. And honestly, I'm not convinced that anything is going to change after this year. And I'm really not. I'm very upset. And I don't know if the future is truly bright anymore. I expect this team to continue. We're going to continue to win. I have no doubt there. As in, we're going to have winning seasons every year. We're always going to be in that 90-plus win range because we're the Yankees and we have a talented roster. But that does not mean we are entitled to win a championship. There is no guarantee in this sport. And as of now, we're not the best team in the baseball. And we're not the best team in the league. The Rays are better, and they proved it. It's plain and simple.
Edward?
Yeah. I agree with everything Luke said. I'm just annoyed. It's every year. It seems like there's a new team, you know, that we always lose to. I was thinking coming into this year, all right, the Astros. They had our number the 2 years. Gerrit Cole is gone, and he's now a Yankee. There should be nobody in the American League that should give us any trouble to stop us from getting into the World Series. Here come the Rays with a payroll about 3 times less than the Yankees, and they knocked them out of the playoffs. It's frustrating, and it's every year now. You know, last year, I think as much as I enjoyed that team, it was obvious. It was like, okay, there's a pressing need for a big starter. We knew Gerrit Cole was going to be a free agent. We got the big guy. And then it's like, I feel like in a way we've regressed in the playoffs every year since 2017. And I think that's probably the weakest team we've had in terms of talent on the roster. I mean, we were starting Chase Headley, and I think we had a better playoff run in 2017 than we have any year since then. So it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think I, you know, with the Yankees, I think the issue is that, like, when they plug one hole, another one patches up. Another one opens up. It's like 2017. We needed a big bat to pair with Judge. We go out, we get Stanton. 2018, our best pitcher goes into a massive slump. He forgets what time a playoff game starts, right? And you know, that was 2018 was the year where Gary had a bad year too. Yeah. I believe Judge got hurt. Remember?
Jay Happ joked.
Yeah, the injuries. Jay Happ. It was like we had rotation issues. We had lineup issues. We had health issues. 2019.
Sonny Gray, baby.
Yeah, Sonny Gray went wrong. Yeah, 2019, right? We actually had a really nice offseason. We get DJ, we get Ottavino, we bring Britton back, yada yada yada. We know the moves. And it's like, oh man, this is gonna be the year. And then everyone gets hurt. Gary has a good year. He comes back, has a good year. But everybody else gets hurt. You know, Stanton hurt, Judge hurt, Hicks hurt. Everyone gets hurt. Didi comes back, plays like shit. All right, nothing went right, and you know, the depth saves our lives, but it's very clear in the playoffs that we are short on starters. Domingo gets suspended the week before the playoffs. He gets suspended for doing something horrible, and it's very clear we need Gerrit Cole. We go get Gerrit Cole. Severino blows his elbow out, and so does Paxton. So we go into the regular season 2020, right? Before COVID, right? We're thinking in January, oh man, we have a top three rotation. We've got Cole, Seve, Paxton, Tanaka, and you know, number five, we're gonna have Monty or whoever else, or I mean Hat. We have Hat, and then Monty is a great six guy. And if anybody gets hurt, you just slide Monty in there. Everyone gets hurt again. And it's just every year. And then we lose Canley too, and our bullpen has a leak in it because of it. We only have three reliable guys in that bullpen. Green, Britton, Chapman. You know, Holder was good for a while, and then like the last 2 weeks of the season he got rocked, and then we stopped trusting him, and we were throwing Jonathan Loaisiga out in big playoff moments. Every year. It's every year. That's the issue. It's every year there is an issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, another issue I'm having is, like, every year it seems like there's another excuse. It's like, oh, my God, this happened. And it's like, and you got Aaron Boone saying that it wasn't a failure. It was a failure. If we're having $200 million payroll and there are big, massive holes every year on our team.
Look, I'm at the point where I've been an Aaron Boone supporter since he first came here. 2018, we saw what a rookie manager looked like. He had his problems. 2019, actually, I thought he improved a ton. I really did. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of better managerial decisions. He looked much better, much more confident out there. But this year, it just felt like 2018 all over again with him. And really, the season ended the same way as 2018, except maybe we ended up... I mean, actually, really, in the end, the season was even very similar. That team was very streaky. I mean, we had a couple big winning streaks and a couple really bad losing streaks, and we just couldn't catch up to the top team. And that was the same thing as 18 with the Red Sox. And in the end, just like that year, we didn't make it past a division series. And I don't expect much to change, which is the scary thing about this team. I mean, going into the offseason, the Yankees, I guarantee you, they're going to make the excuse that they didn't make much money this year. They're losing a lot of money. And while that is correct, they have to make a decision. Do they want to actually win a World Series? Or do they want to keep playing second fiddle to the Rays for the next few years? Because if they don't do anything substantial, I think that's what's going to happen. And to clarify, when I say substantial, I mean adding a couple solid relievers and getting a really good number two starter in place of Tanaka. Or if you really just want to re-sign Tanaka, fine. But I think we need someone new there.
Yeah, definitely. Totally agree. I'm sure we'll dive into the offseason more later, or
probably in another episode. I don't know.
Yeah. But what Tom was saying about the holes, and it's just like every year, man, what do we have to do? Like this year, last year, as 2019, I was really sure. I was like 95% sure. We add Cole. There's nothing that can go wrong. I mean, injuries, obviously. I said it before the year that guys will get hurt. Shockingly, it happens every year with us. But I was like, come on, there's no way. Then the Rays emerge, another more holes appear on this team, and then another playoff exit. We haven't even made a World Series. It's the saddest part. Like, not even like
we
made it to the World Series and lost.
Well,
we did 2017.
Well, we've gotten close, but
yeah,
close isn't good enough. That's the reality of it.
I mean, with 2018, the thing was, like, I knew the Red Sox were better.
Yeah, me too.
They just like they were magical that year. Like, I got to give them a ton of credit. That was a really, really good team. The Yankees were good too, but they were not, I don't think they were at the Red Sox level this year. I think it should have been, I think it was pretty evenly matched. I mean, I guess the Yankees should have been better, but they clearly weren't. The Rays were, and now they're playing Houston, and I think they're winning. They'll probably be up 2-0 if they hold on today, but again, I'm just frustrated. It's annoying. It's like every year I'm optimistic looking into the next season. This is probably the least optimistic I've been since like 2015 or 16 or something with looking into a season. I mean, obviously the teams will still be good and they'll win 90 games. It's not about that. It's not like, oh, the Yankees are going to win 75 games and miss the playoffs. But it's about, you know, it's just the playoffs and then another loss before the World Series again. And then it seems it's been 4 years now this happening. So
you're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, how much could really change, though, realistically speaking? You have fans screaming everywhere, oh, trade Luke Voit, trade this player, get rid of him. Oh, Gleyber Torres at shortstop? Nah, screw that. Well, dude, you can only do so much within reason. While I do think Cashman needs to step up his game because I'm really growing tired of him not doing shit at the deadline. It screwed us 2 years in a row. It's a serious issue. But with that said, you don't...
Was Archie Bradley really that expensive?
I know. There was no reason not to get a reliever at the deadline, regardless of if he knew about there being no off days in the postseason. The
that
need
doesn't
was
even
there
matter.
Regardless. No, it wasn't. The need was there regardless of the Tommy Canley injury. And with that said, you don't just trade players to trade players away. And you're not going to, especially talented players. I mean, who the hell would trade Luke Voit after the season he just had? You can say, oh, you want to sell high on him. But no, this is literally one of the most talented offensive first basemen in baseball. And you don't trade him just because you want to get a new toy at first base. That's stupid, asinine, and ridiculous. I just don't get Yankees fans sometimes.
No, I mean, here's the thing. You know, I apologize, but this is going to be a Tom-heavy show because Tom has some things on his mind here. Okay, because, like, whenever we get eliminated, I go through, I become Doctor Strange where I look through all the outcomes, the 4 billion outcomes, and only one is successful.
Okay.
So that's an Infinity War reference, if anyone... I hope everyone's seen that movie. It's great. Okay. You know, we're not even getting into that. I look at what goes wrong and what goes right for other organizations. Right? And what goes right for, say, the Dodgers? What goes right for the Rays? What goes right for Houston? Yada, yada, yada. You know what they all have in common? You know, here's the thing. We are phenomenal at finding Luke Voit. We're phenomenal at finding Gio. We cannot draft to save our lives, and it hurts. Yeah. It hurts our depth. And I know we sign international free agents a lot. We developed Davey, developed Sebi, Gary. Yeah, you can name whoever you want. Here's the thing. 2015, 2016, we're drafting 16th. We draft Caprellian. 8 picks later, the Los Angeles Dodgers select Walker Buehler. It's an issue. It's not, obviously, you can say, the draft is kind of a crapshoot. You're completely correct. But the problem is you cannot go 2 for 30 in draft picks, in first-round draft picks. The first round should be kind of more hit than miss. And the Yankees miss a lot. I have no faith in Anthony Siegler. I have no faith in Austin Wells. I'm sorry. Because the Yankees have shown me nothing to make me believe that they can build that kind of depth that the Dodgers have.
I would say this about their drafting. Their drafting has obviously been very bad over the years. They've not developed almost any players from the first round that have been good, with the exception of Aaron Judge and Derek Jeter over the last 30
that's
years.
It.
I mean, that's sad. Really
it. From the first that's really round, sad. From the first round, that is it. With that said, on Austin Wells, at least, I think that's a good pick. And I'll say this about that pick. The one difference between that pick and their last few picks, I would say, that I like a lot about it, is they went for a player that has upside. a lot that's of upside.
That's it.
And that's exactly it. Because look at Anthony Volpe and Anthony Siegler. What was their ceiling when they got drafted?
Like, what are we doing?
Exactly. Well, the ceiling was always just.
If you're gonna pick in the 20s every year, just fucking go for it. Exactly. Why not? If you see a college pitcher that just had Tommy John that throws 100, has a nasty slider, you know what? Fuck it. Try it. Say, hey, let's try to develop that guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I like the Schmidt pick, because he's got some legitimate upside here. Yeah.
Exactly.
And another guy we went after, Kyle Holder, was known for, like, a glove.
Oh, and, I hate when they make those picks.
Like, you know who was picked directly after him? Another. Who?
Do you know? Cabrian Hayes, the third baseman for the Pirates, who's a very good prospect. He was picked right after Kyle Holder. Yeah. Now, I like Kyle Holder's glove. The problem is he's probably going to be a utility man in baseball, and Cabrian Hayes is probably a starting third baseman for the next decade.
Why are you picking gloves in the first round, though? What is the idea behind, like, hey, he's got a good glove in the first round? Like, don't we want to get some guys that can be big hitters or something?
It was because they wanted. It was because they were gonna front load the money to Caprellian. They were gonna use the savings from Holder slot. They play slot games instead of going just with upside and just saying fuck it. We got to draft talent after talent after talent. We drafted. I forgot. We drafted Clark Schmidt over Gavin Lux, the top prospect. For the Dodgers, too.
Dodgers. And there's a trend here. Walker Buehler, Gavin Lux.
Yeah, the problem is the Dodgers are like the Yankees. They pick in the back of the first round every year, and somehow they always manage to figure it out. Somehow we make it like it's rocket science. And that's my issue. Because now we don't know who's our second baseman if DJ leaves. Okay, I don't know. We don't know who's our first baseman if Voit gets hurt. Are we going to put Ford there? I don't know. We have some depth issues. I think our starting pitching depth could be okay if we brought back Tanaka and or Paxton or another second starter. But I don't know. It's just it unsettles me a little bit that we don't have major league depth at certain spots anymore. I don't know what Talkman is. You know?
No, it's crazy because we went into the 2019 offseason under the mindset of we actually have some of the best depth in baseball, we were all thinking. We really felt that way because it gave us an opportunity, which sucked because of all the injuries, of course, but we got to see what a lot of these guys could do. We saw Mike Ford, absolutely rake, but he hit as like an above average MLB hitter. You had Mike Talkman played an all-star caliber level. You had a number of different guys come up and show that they were legit major league depth. So you go across that roster and, you know, now you're looking at Mike Ford as not an asset. He's a liability as in the field, really. And you go to Mike Talkman, all he can do is field. The guy can't hit for his life. So
honestly, he had zero hit. He had what?
Zero hits on fastball, right? Yeah. Maybe one.
Oh my god.
So like,
what are we doing? And
one thing you need to prioritize this offseason, you have to improve the bench. You need a utility infielder more than anything. Get me Tommy La Stella, get me someone along those lines. Even I'll take Jerks and Profar, I don't care. You gotta give me somebody.
They literally Tom Profar too, everywhere.
Considering they try to trade for him every single offseason. It wouldn't be an offseason without the Jerks and Profar trade room.
Yeah, fuck it. It's got to happen some point. It's just an inevitability.
Yeah. It's been like 5 years since Profar.
I mean, Cashman always, when he likes someone, he eventually gets them usually. Yeah. It's the way he operates.
The new white whale. The new white whale, Jerks and Profar.
Profar's their white whale.
Screw Gerrit Cole. Jerks and Profar. Yeah.
Profar was once the number one prospect in all of baseball, and then he tore his shoulder.
He was highly talented.
Yeah, he tore his shoulder up, and then he never got it figured out, poor guy. You know, but yeah, there's just a lot of issues, and I think my main issue, here's my main point here, my main issue is kind of the organization. They love analytics, and I'm an analytical person. But the problem is, I don't think they do a good job of using the information to the fullest.
I would say in-game is their biggest issue, honestly, with analytics.
I don't understand the lineup construction much. I don't understand certain moves that they make. I don't understand why they thought the Rays would shit their pants against Jay Happ.
Oh, God! Oh, my God! They're bringing in Jay Happ after Garcia?
Like,
oh, my God! We weren't ready for this!
Like, they were more afraid of Davey Garcia than they were Jay Happ. And everyone knows that.
And look at the lineup they put into that game, too. It's not like they stacked all their lefties against Garcia thinking, oh, they're using Garcia the whole game. No, they went righty-lefty, righty-lefty the whole way.
Also,
the plan failed entirely.
Yeah, also, Mike Ford hit over Clint Frazier and Gary Sanchez twice.
Horrible. That was, I don't, my Aaron Boone saying, oh, well, I want the on-base presence. Dude!
Clint had a 394 on-base percentage.
Come on.
Mike Ford did not record a hit since August 31st. So
in 2019, Mike Ford was a legit on-base presence. But that's 2019. It doesn't matter anymore. He sucked in 2020, so why the hell is he getting that at-bat? It makes zero sense.
Yep.
Also, Clint probably should have started more games in left field. I know Gardner got hot, but Clint probably should have been in left field more. You know, why? I mean, if you're going to take Higashioka out of the game, I mean, I don't understand the Mike Ford thing. I don't understand. It's like there could be an analytic that says, and some information that says Castillo struggles more against lefties than he does against righties. The problem is you are playing against the Rays. But it seems like here's the issue. They want to play to the Rays' weaknesses more than they want to play to our strengths. We are strong with on the bench. We were strong with two right-handed guys with power. Gary doesn't have the on-base percentage that Clint does. But Gary has a lot more power than Clint does when Gary connects. So why are we playing against ourselves, I guess? I just don't understand. It felt like...
And the crazy thing is, like... Sorry, go ahead.
And the issue is our best not good enough? Is our best just... Are the Rays unbeatable if we don't do everything to avoid what they do good?
No, the Yankees completely overthought everything. And the crazy thing is Yankees, Rays, and the Dodgers, they all come from the same school of thought when it comes to their front office. They all have that same mindset, the same way of thinking for the most part. I mean, hell, they try to get the same players. I mean, the Rays were going after Nick Anderson, the Yankees were going after Nick Anderson. They both went after Mike Talkman. They both have that same analytical way of thinking and looking at players. And you know what? When it comes to scouting, it's worked great for both teams. There's no denying that. The Yankees have been great with their scouting on an analytical level. But when it comes to in-game managing, they just don't know how to operate in the way the Rays do yet. Because, again, like you said, instead of trying to play to their strengths, they're trying to play to their weaknesses. But the Rays... they don't have any weaknesses because of the way they built their team, and not necessarily because of a crap ton of talent, although they do have a lot of talent. It's because they have so many different options on their team, whether it be lefty-righty pitchers or lefty-righty bats. They can go from option to option at any given time and outmanage Boone if he tries to overthink it. And when Boone overthinks it and tries to outmanage him, he's just going to keep wasting all his good players. So what the hell are you doing? You're setting yourself up for a loss, and that's what happened in game two. If we actually use Garcia for more than one inning, if we use him for three innings even, I think there's at least a genuine chance we could have won that game, because five runs was enough to win that game if the Yankees actually managed correctly.
Edward?
Yeah, exactly right. That pissed me off a lot, the just trying to outsmart the Rays. The Rays are very smart, first of all. So if the Yankees thought that they were getting a quick one by them by starting, first of all,
Jay Happ,
who did
that's
they think
the
they
issue.
Were pitching?
It's not.
Who do they think they're pitching?
This isn't prime Randy Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, Sandy Koufax, Randy Johnson, or Jay Happ? Yeah, who they?
We got like, we got Andy Pettit over there.
Like, if this was prime Randy Johnson, you wouldn't even be using an opener to begin with. So
nah,
I don't get it.
Yeah, you're not hitting this guy tonight. Sorry, bud.
It just pisses me off that there was an idea. Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone were maybe talking on the phone, and they were like, we're going to bring out the secret weapon, Jay Happ, and shock the Rays and scare them.
Really? That's so funny. That's just like, we just played not to lose. We played to their weaknesses more than we played our strength. What are we good at? We hit the shit out of the baseball. We get on base. We go to our bullpen and we win games. It's not hard. We didn't do many openers and also one other thing. Jay Happ was not on board with that plan.
Exactly. That's my biggest issue with it.
You just made someone do something that his heart isn't in. And Jay Happ's heart has been questioning the Yankees for a while now for certain things.
Yeah.
So now you're just pissing a pissed off guy even more. It's just
I won't miss Jay Happ either, by the way.
I won't miss it.
Jay Happ will not be missed.
$17 million off the books, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no feeling towards Jay Happ other than okay, he pitched, he's done. Now we move on. But come on. Also, with a $200 million payroll, we went another year where we only had two reliable starters in the playoffs again. Yeah. It happened again. We signed Garrett Cole for the specific reason that this isn't going to happen again. And it happened again.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys okay?
That's depressing. Yeah, this is just depressing, man.
I told you.
I don't know what to think. Like you said, when you have that much money at your disposal, you know how angry it must make them and me. See what the Rays are doing with such a tiny payroll? I mean, how much was their payroll this year? I think it was like
70 something million.
It was probably like 80.
I'm pretty sure 72 or something.
Think about that. 72. If they just went up to, let's say they decided, hey, we're not going to be the Yankees, but we're going to bump up our payroll to like, I don't know, maybe 1/5, which is not even that much really for a baseball team at all. That's pretty small in the grand scheme of things.
It's under the luxury tax.
Exactly. Imagine if they decided to do that. Stay under the luxury tax. And they kept up what they've been doing with their scouting. They would literally dominate the sport. It wouldn't even be close. They would have another $80 million right now to add to that payroll. They could add one or two different stars. And you know what? They need that star power, I think, if they really want to get over the hump for many years and really create a true dynasty. And even with that, they have the best farm system in all of baseball, or at least they're like top three.
Imagine if they start developing power hitters.
My God. It would be a nightmare, dude. The Yankees would literally be second place for the next
decade.
It's really not. Yeah.
Edward, are you okay, sir?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
I just like getting you involved, man.
I know. Again, I said it to you guys right after we lost. I hope, like, Brian Cashman, or I don't know if Hal Steinbrenner, how much he's into it, but Brian Cashman, at least, he should be pissed off. Does it not bother him that a team with a $70 million payroll just knocked the Yankees out of the playoffs? It's like, doesn't that question his decisions that someone who's working with much less money than him just knocked his team out of the playoffs?
I will tell you what pisses him off more, the fact that he stuck his neck out on the line for his catcher, and his catcher came into the season and hit 147. Yeah. And he was a complete non-factor throughout the entire season.
Yeah.
I think it pisses him off that Stanton and Judge once again couldn't stay healthy. I think it pisses him off that the shortstop that he let Didi go for can't play defense. You know, I think there are a lot of things that he expected to go right that went haywire.
And you know what? He had every right to expect some things to go right, because I'm going to be honest, not everything is his fault, although I like to shit on him sometimes, but not everything is this dude's fault. But some things absolutely are. Him not making deadline moves, entirely his fault. Unless
the contract was his fault.
Time Brenner says no, for example. That if it's something like that, then fine. That's an ownership issue.
I don't think that's happened before. It's his fault. I'm going to blame him for that.
I think it's both. I think he's not allowed to get some of the more expensive people when it comes to the trade market. But with that said, when it comes to controllable players that are making not much money, and there's a number of them. I mean, look at even the non-controllable ones, like Archie Bradley, who was on a very cheap deal. I mean, you tell me you couldn't add a couple million, if even that, to your payroll? No, that obviously he could have
less.
Easily done that.
Less than a couple.
Even less. So with that said, what was preventing them from doing that? Cashman not wanting to trade anyway of his quote-unquote blue-chip prospect, which he definitely didn't need to move for Archie Bradley.
The Reds did not give up anything for
Mike Ford type. He probably could have gave away Mike Ford and they would have gave him Archie Bradley. Swear to God.
I think even less. They did not give up they didn't give up anything for Archie Bradley. My jaw dropped when I found out what they got for him. They got like the 20th prospect.
So what is the excuse there? I don't think there is one. So
the only excuse can be he didn't think that Archie Bradley was that good, but Archie Bradley's pretty good.
He is pretty good, and there were a lot of good players available at the deadline he could have made a move for. And you know what? I said, if you really don't want to get a starter, which I think you needed to, then you need to stock up on relievers. That's the worst case scenario for them that they had to go for. They had to add a couple relievers. And
are you implying that Jonathan Loaisiga isn't good enough?
I hate him. I hate him. I seriously hate the dude right now. He's so bad. He was so bad in the postseason.
I just hate it. I don't hate him. I like his stuff. I just don't trust him yet. You have to earn those innings. I don't feel like Loaisiga earned those innings. I think he was there by default.
Also, in the postseason, the bullpen pecking order. Why the hell was Luis
Sessa
the garbage time? Why?
He's what the fuck?
He's so much better than the Weissick guy. He's been better
than the Weissick guy. I never understood that. I was like, you know, we Stanton hit the Grand Slam game one, and Luis Sessa's coming in.
Why are you wasting him?
Whoa, what are we doing here? Whoa. You're telling me that Loaisiga is better than Sessa.
Come on. No.
But here's the issue. Loaisiga has really good stuff. Better stuff than Sessa. Loaisiga looks like every time he's on the mound in a big spot, he looks like he wants to cry.
He looks like Sonny Gray.
It's the deer in the headlights look. Where you know that this guy is fucked. You know that Loaisiga is not mentally prepared for this. And that he doesn't have the balls yet. He's got to grow the balls. You know, Mariano Rivera came in, he just always had the balls. This guy does not have the balls just yet. Of course. I just keep saying the balls.
And even Adam Ottavino, dude, like, while he did not have a good season by any means, he was not good at all. But you're telling me you'd rather have Loaisiga pitch instead of Adam Ottavino. I think that's crazy. I genuinely think that's crazy. I'd rather go with the veteran who's been there before, he has stuff on par with Loaisiga, if not better, definitely better, really, when he's looking decent. I mean, you tell me you can't just tell when he's warming up in the bullpen how the dude's looking? You can tell when Adam Ottavino has it. If he has the movement on his pitches, even if his command's off, he can get a clean inning. Because his stuff is that good. I'd rather have that over Loaisiga any time of the day. It's crazy.
I would rather have Holder than Loaisiga right now.
Holder had a decent year.
Yeah. I don't understand anything that we do anymore. It's just, that's the issue. That's the issue right now. We are bad at in-game managing. We're shitting on the organization right now. But also, it's pretty tiring to see players not show up. You know, it's kind of tiring to see, like, DJ LeMahieu didn't have an extra base hit in the playoffs. Every hit that he got was a single. Aaron Judge kept swinging at the first pitch. I don't understand what – that's not what makes Aaron Judge great. What makes Aaron Judge great is the ability to work a count and hit a bomb or get on base. You know, Aaron Hicks was phenomenal. I got to give him much love there. You know, but really, Gio was awful after the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck?
At some point, it's like, we know that this is a talented offense and they could score 10 runs at any time, but like, we need the offense. Like, no matter how great you are, they have to come through in big games. It just hasn't happened, unfortunately, recently. You know, they have their moments in the playoffs, but we know they're talented. It's an issue of, you know, this offense isn't good enough. But they just keep, like, they're just silenced. And the thing is, like, you could say, oh, the Rays have good pitchers. Yeah, they do have good pitchers. They're in the playoffs. You know, obviously everyone's going to be good. That's why we have this lineup that's deadly. And they're very good. But at the same time, like, at some point in big games, we're going to need more than one run from Judge, who struggled for the most part. He had a couple home runs. But outside of that, he wasn't great. There was a bunch of other guys. Stanton is one guy who I really can't say a bad word about. He got a ton of hate from the fan base this year, 2018, every single day that we've had him. And
just
I think
stay
he really
healthy,
shut
man.
Up a lot of, yeah, he shut up a lot of haters. Obviously, he's injury prone. You can't deny it. Judge is injury prone. They both are at this point. I think you can't, like, deny that. But when they play, they both are great players, if we didn't know that already. But
some people seem to
hate Stanton.
You want to know what I'm tired of? I'm absolutely tired of our best players getting hurt during the regular season, coming back a week before the playoffs, and not getting
like
their time.
Looking terrible.
Yeah, that's the problem with
Judge.
That's the problem with
like
Judge.
You can't expect to play two games and then all of a sudden 50 home run Judge form is back. You know, it doesn't work like that.
That's why health is so important. It's so
important. Be healthy.
Like Judge. He had a weird year, even when he was looking good to me. Like, I said this from the beginning, and I mentioned it early in the year, and, you know, you guys even
too
said,
aggressive.
You know, it's probably not much of an issue, because he's hitting home runs still. And, yeah, he was not working the count the same way Aaron Judge has his whole career. Going back to 2017, 2018, 2019, he would always work the count. Even when the guy was struggling, he would always work the count. You'd always seeing 3-2 every at-bat, basically. But, no, not this year. Even when he was going good, he was swinging early pitches in the count in a way he never has before. And while I can appreciate aggressiveness to an extent, it doesn't work for Judge quite as well as it does for someone like Voit, who changes approach. Voit, it worked perfect. It worked the way you would want it to work. He hit a lot more home runs. He had enough hits to justify it. His average was in a good enough place. Luke Voit, it worked. Aaron Judge, it was the exact thing I was worried about. He just could not hit for his life at the end.
It's the lowest on base percentage of, I mean, it was only 60 games, but it's the lowest we've seen from him. I think it was like 337 or something.
Yeah.
He wasn't walking because he's
being too
aggressive.
And that's very disappointing. Very disappointing.
It's not him. It's not him. So go back to what worked, you know.
I'm
not asking you to strike out 50 times in a season, you know.
An aggressive approach only works until it stops working, really. Because eventually the law of it averages out where you're swinging at the first pitch, teams kind of get cognizant of that. They're like, hey, Judge is probably swinging at the first pitch here. You probably should make a better pitch than a fastball down the middle. And then when they stop doing that, he's going to roll over on a bunch of pitches. He's going to pop up on a bunch of pitches. And it's just not good enough. And, you know, the thing that makes Aaron Judge great, he gets the 3-2. He either works a walk, strikes out, or takes you deep. And we kind of missed out on the walking part this year.
Yeah, it's definitely an issue for going into next year, and I'm hoping Judge does the necessary work to improve.
I think it'll be fixed. I think it'll be fixed. If he's healthy next year, I think it will be okay, but it's just like,
one of the largest years for the Yankees, man. But like, it's when I say it's a huge year, I mean it is monumental for the future of this team. Not just because
it's do or die.
It's a make or break this potential quote unquote dynasty.
Big make or break here.
If they don't win again, there is a legit chance they will consider trading Aaron Judge. And that's not even me saying being negative.
If he gets hurt again,
he's done.
Yeah.
He's legitimately going to be done because he will only have a year left on his contract. As crazy as that sounds, time really freaking flies. And it'll be time to move on to the next guy, because the Yankees are not going to even think about re-signing Aaron Judge if he gets hurt again. There's no chance. They wouldn't even think about it. They're already stuck with Giancarlo Stanton, who is basically the same exact player when it comes to their body type and physique and everything. I mean, so you're really going to take that risk? No, you'd be nuts. You'd be absolutely nuts.
Stay healthy, get on base, hit home runs, and you will get your contract, Aaron.
It's that simple.
You cannot get hurt again. Now, here's the thing. If 2018 happens, right, where he gets hit on the wrist like a fluke injury, I can forgive that. But I can't have you pulling a hammy or pulling a quad or tearing your oblique or whatever else, you know.
Yeah.
I can deal with a fluke injury that will never happen again. I can't deal with the recurring soft tissue stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
that's 2016.
Long-term stuff.
He was injured.
Yeah.
I don't remember what his injury was, but it was an oblique injury. Yeah, or an oblique again. 2017 was really the only year we ever had him healthy. 2018, you were right. It was kind of a fluke, but every other year, it's just been injury after injury with him.
You got to remember, too, even 2017, he was playing hurt. He probably should have been going onto the injured list. So when you think about that, there has not been a year where he hasn't had a legit injury that has either put him on the injured list or at the very least hampered his ability to play.
And it hampered him in 2017, definitely, for those 2 months.
A lot of players play with injuries.
No, of course. But pretty serious, actually. Yeah. That was a bad one.
I only have an issue with a player's injury usually if they're not on the field. That just really kills you. Just the entire presence of Aaron Judge brings a lot to the table. And it's just like, when you're not there for 50 games, it's like, whoa, we can't have that, because that's a third of the season, pretty much. I mean, you just can't do it. We can't keep doing this. I mean, we have to have a year in which Judge can play at least 130 games. You know, if you play 130, we can manage. But when you're missing 50, 40, 60, however many games every year, it's like, what the hell are we doing here? It's just, and you can't commit to someone like that, because we just committed to Giancarlo. And it's an issue. It's an issue. We can't, because when your best players get hurt, it hurts your team. I don't know if you guys noticed that. I've kind of noticed that. When your best players don't play baseball, it hurts your baseball team. There's a reason why Giancarlo got that contract. It's because he's really fucking good.
I mean, it's hard to disagree. I mean, there's so much on my mind about what happened already. We talked about so much, and it's just really all negatives right now. There's not too much for me to be positive about. And another thing that's really bothered me is how content, not gonna say content, but just I've had enough of hearing from all these players and Boone, you know, oh, you know what? We can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna win. I'm telling you, things are gonna get better. It's like, dude,
it's so annoying.
You've been saying this from the moment you've been here. You can't just keep saying that every year. Eventually, that tunnel is just going to run out, man. It already has run out, really, for me. You could say that for like 1-2 years max, maybe. After that, I don't want to hear that bullshit anymore. It's you failed, and that's it. Take some damn accountability.
How many times can we say we'll get him next year? I mean, it's just like, eventually, it's been 11 years since the last time the Yankees even reached the World Series. They won that World Series, thankfully. It's been 11 years. You know, 2010, we miss out Cliff Lee. 2013 was the downfall of everything, yada, yada, yada. 2014, 2015 sucked.
In the span of 20 years, we've won 2 World Series.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, we've been to four, won 2, haven't reached one in over a decade. The last time we got close to reaching one, really close, where we were a win away from going to the World Series, we choked it away because the guy that we didn't trade for due to salary concerns was playing for the Astros instead of the Yankees and shut us down. Yeah. And it's just like, it's always something that gets in the way, whether a move we didn't make, whether an injury happens, whether this happens, this happens, this happens. It's always something. And it's like next year, it's got to come together. Next year, Luis Severino has to come back and be that number two behind Garrett Cole. And we need to have that 1-2 punch where you go into the playoffs and those first two games are pretty much guaranteed wins. Because when you have Garrett Cole and Luis Severino going when they at their best, they're unbeatable, really. I picked Luis Severino to win the Cy Young this year before he got hurt. And you know, maybe you bring Paxton back too. Paxton,
you know what? Severino has the stuff, and there's no denying that. But it's almost at the point where it's unfair to even assume he's gonna be that number two as soon as he gets back, coming back
exactly
from such a major surgery, especially. So, yeah. I mean, even doctors say when you first come back from Tommy John, you're not initially gonna feel 100%. It's gonna take time to get.
Yeah, it'll be a process.
That's what I mean. So
the good thing is, he's getting starts before the playoffs. That he can come back. He'll probably come back around June, July. So he's gonna get a good amount of starts before the playoffs.
But even the first year you get back, though, you don't.
Yeah.
Most guys aren't there yet. Even, look at Monty this year. He had some great moments. You saw moments where you saw a legit number three starter. Honestly, he had those glimpses of, not gonna say greatness, but you saw a really good pitcher. So, but you also saw moments where he had no feel of his stuff. He had no idea where the ball was going out there. And I think you're going to see a little bit of both of that from Severino. And that's scary because you're going to go into the postseason thinking, okay, what Severino are we going to be getting? Are we going to get that Severino? Or are we going to get the Cy Young level Severino? And that's going to be, and that's my main reason why I say we need a real number two. And Tanaka, I love him. He's not a real number two. And
no, he's like a 3-4.
Exactly. So what you hope for is that you get a real number two. Severino also happens to be at where he needs to be by coincidence. And then you end up having a number one, two number two level pitchers, and then the rest of your rotation is good enough with your depth. And at that point, you're good. You're looking solid. And you can say confidently at that point, the Yankees did everything they needed to win. And if they lose, at least they lost making the right moves. And that's how I feel.
Is there any pitcher besides Trevor Bauer that could be available as
on the free agent market or any market?
Any market, trade or free agent. Is there anyone that really comes to mind?
For the free agent market, definitely no. And even trade market, I think it's fairly limited off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of number threes, number fours, but there's not many number twos.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, I think bringing Paxton back is about as close as you can get to getting a number two back.
But
honestly.
Him too?
He's a question mark because he's always hurt.
And not even just that. You got to wonder how much of the velocity is going to come back when he's healthy again. I'm not saying he's going to throw 91, 92 again, but I'm not quite so sure he's going to get back up to those higher numbers anymore. And that's the one thing that would scare me about re-signing him. Like, if I re-sign him, it is on the lowest risk deal possible at very, very little salary. So, and I don't think he's going to take that.
So. Your concerns are the same as probably every other MLB team that might be looking at him, which is why I think we could probably get him, like, 1 year, $10, $11 million.
I'm not even sure if I'd take that, though.
I would do that because the reward is so high. Say magically he comes back, his elbow's healthy and he's throwing 95, 96 again. I mean, that reward, that's worth $10 million.
Okay, but what happens if he doesn't pan out?
Then you just say, hey, it's only $10 million. We gave that to Brett Gardner and it worked out fine.
Okay,
but again, this year.
We gave $17 million to Hap for 2 years. I mean, we can deal with $10 million.
That was a terrible contract from the start, too. Yeah. I didn't like it then. Obviously, I hate it now.
Imagine who's got more upside? Corbin or Paxton?
Imagine if we had Corbin right now.
Corbin's actually, his velocity had a draft. He's throwing like 87 miles an hour these days. Yeah, his velocity took a massive hit.
If he still gets results, then I don't care. Yeah. If he still gets the results, I don't care.
I don't think he got results.
Actually, yeah, he had a 4.6 ERA this year.
Yeah, I don't think he got.
That was not aware of.
It's a short sample size, though, so I'm not
sure. It is.
Yeah.
And he was good last year, too.
Really? I think Bauer's going to get a lot of money somewhere. I don't think Bauer's coming to the Yankees. I don't think that's a realistic expectation. I think if you're going to... Yeah, I mean, I just don't see it. I don't see it for like five different reasons. But like, it's not happening. And I don't know who else could be available. I'm trying to go through like, would you trade? I've got a fun scenario. Yankee Met trade. Would you do like a Gary Sanchez for Noah Syndergaard trade?
No shit. I don't even think twice about that.
Yeah. With the injuries or whatever. I would not. Gary, see ya.
Bye, Gary.
I'll drive him to Citi Field.
The Mets have been looking for a catcher for years now.
Gary is all theirs.
So would you do Gary for Syndergaard? Yeah, I mean, sure, why not? I mean, because they're both kind of high risk, high reward. Syndergaard's had some injuries and hasn't performed as well as we would have hoped.
I do have something interesting to propose, though.
What?
Well, in the past, Mets trades have never been a realistic possibility because of the Wilpons, but now we have
Steve Cohen, baby.
I think that it at least definitely changes the scope of negotiations with that team moving forward. I'm not saying we're going to make a ton of trades with them necessarily, but I do think you can look – when you see those Mets rumors, it's no longer, okay, why even put out the rumor? The Wilpons are never going to trade anyone good to the Yankees. Well, now I think that they absolutely will consider trading anyone to the Yankees because Steve Cohen does not have those issues with Cashman or anyone on the team. He will make trades to better his team because he's actually a smart person.
You know, the Mets should just go Gary for Syndergaard, right? Like Gary plus a prospect or two for Syndergaard. We get Syndergaard back around the same time that Sevy comes back, right? So now you got three starters that have like ace potential, which would be great for us. And the Mets get a catcher with potential to be, you know, a middle of the order kind of guy. And, you know, they have the DH in the National League too. So that could help them out too. And then that gives the Mets the ability to go out and sign Trevor Bauer too, to pair with DeGrom.
Yeah. No, I definitely think you're right. And, you know, the Mets, they've always had so many different issues, of course. And now they definitely have a lot of holes they need to fill still. And I think Cohen's going to really fill those holes moving forward. But, one guy they lost the injury and now going to be the free agency, Marcus Stroman. I'm interested to see how the market ends up playing on guys like him in the sense that he didn't even pitch an inning this year. So how are teams going to be – they could easily take advantage of that during negotiations. I mean, I think all teams are going to do that because they're so desperate to save money.
I don't see the free agent market being huge this year, honestly.
No, me neither. And especially for guys like him, when you have those things you can point out, teams are going to do it. I don't see him getting much money or many years. I really don't.
Yeah, and can you imagine Gary Sanchez behind the plate catching Trevor Bauer for the Mets?
No, but I would like to, I would genuinely like to see that because it would mean that we got a really good pitcher from the Mets.
If we
could get something of value for Gary. I mean, I think we should trade him anyway, but people like will see his upside and be like, oh.
No, they will. That's the reality of him because teams are going to be able to bet on him. While he's not going to have, you know, the super high value, his value is not non-existent like many people have said. That's silly thinking because he still has two full years of control left. This guy has been one of the best offensive catchers in baseball. And you got to keep in mind, too, even when he's off, like he was during many of his streaks, he still manages to hit home runs, and that puts him into an upper tier offensively with catchers because of how weak that position is. If he even just hits 220, 230, and he hits 25 home runs, which is a very reasonable expectation for him, you're still looking at one of the best offensive catchers in baseball, which is sad, but true.
Edward?
Yeah, I agree. At first, you know, Gary pissed me off. Well, 2018 was annoying at first, but then you're like, all right, whatever. He was great for us. 2019, second half again, carried into
this season. Now it seems like not just us, the fans, have soured on him. It seems like that's translated over to Brian Cashman and Boone. So now it's like the organization doesn't view this guy highly. So at this point, I think it's either you play him or you trade him.
Exactly.
It's not, yeah. Something's going on here. Something changed. They saw something, or they're like, you know what, this guy's not a part of our future. And if they think you got to get rid of him.
You know, Gary Sanchez, in a lot of ways, is kind of like the Yankees organization if they were a person. Like, the issues that we have with the Yankees organization, there's always something with Gary that's wrong. There always seems to be something here. It's just, hey, he can't block. Shit. Hey, he can't frame. Shit. Hey, he can't lay off a slider low and away. Shit. Hey, he can't hit a fastball anymore. Shit. Okay.
No, he always had some issues.
Hey, Garrett would rather throw to Higashioka now. Shit.
And that's the biggest thing, I think, honestly. The fact that pitchers do not feel comfortable throwing to him, and I think that's the biggest reason, more than any, why they're going to end up trading him. Because I think you need them to have that level of confidence as a pitcher to be able to throw your best stuff. And if you're someone like Gerrit Cole, you want to be able to have that relationship with the starting catcher, ideally. And you just can't do that with Gary, because he can't block half of the pitches he's going to throw. And more importantly, he's horrible at pitching. I mean, not pitching, framing pitches up in the upper part of the zone. And that's where Gerrit Cole loves to work. Higgy, on the other hand, he's great at framing pitches in general up in the zone. He's great at framing in general and block. His blocking in the postseason was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he deserves so much credit for his work behind the plate. I was so impressed by him. Like, it's up to me. He's starting next year along with another platoon option that they would either get from.
I'm a certified Higgy stan, okay? I love Mason Higgy. I love
Higgy. Also, no offense, no hate to the one knee approach there, but wasn't that supposed to improve his framing? Gary's framing, I'm talking about? Isn't that what the point of it was?
It did. But it did not improve all aspects, though.
Okay.
But it's just, it makes him even less athletic. And
yeah, that annoys me. Right.
You know, Gary's not the most nimble guy anyways, because he's a big hulking figure. Oh. And now you have him on one knee, and any slider that's just a bit outside that he has to reach for, he can't really get himself into a position quickly enough to move. Higgy's kind of like the anti-Gary in terms of body type, because he's not the biggest dude. He's really quick. He's really athletic, you know. Yeah.
And he's got good traditional.
He's like your more traditional defensive catcher.
Right. And he's got a little bit of pop, too, where he can...
He does have some pop. You're right.
And that's why I think he deserves to get more playing time next year. And I would feel comfortable starting him as long as we have another good backup catcher. Like a solid one. Like maybe a Jason Castro type. Or whoever else is out there. I'm totally comfortable with that. Because I care... I've been saying this for a while now. I'm at the point where I care much more about a catcher being a defensive wizard than being an offensive god, because the Yankees
have enough offense. We have a good
enough lineup where we don't need the catcher to rake. That shouldn't really deter from anything. I mean, look at this year. We didn't have Gary doing anything the entire year, basically. But in the end, that had nothing to do with any of our offensive struggles when they came. It was never him.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with Gary. I don't know.
My mind is made up on Gary now.
I would really push for that Syndergaard for Gary trade. I'd be Stevie,
definitely be interested.
Stevie, you know,
they would say,
they would say,
you would need to offer other good pieces.
Yeah, I would be interested.
Well, it depends if Steve. I'm assuming Steve's going to hire a new GM too.
Sandy Alderson is going to run.
All right, Sandy's going to be back.
Well, didn't they say Sandy's not actually the GM though? I believe it's.
Yeah, I think they're going to hire.
He's the president. He's the president. So they're going to hire. They're going to hire a guy to work with Sandy, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
Sandy's smart. He just got put in a bad position with the Mets.
Sandy just didn't have much money to spend, so exactly. He really wasn't.
Yeah.
He drafted like a madman, though, that legend. Mm-hmm. He got DeGrom. He got Dominic Smith, who turned into a stud. Yeah. Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil. All those players are Sandy's players.
I think DeGrom was like a seventh-round pick, too. Ninth we drafted round. Kyle Holder in the first round. Ninth round. And they're drafting two-time Cy Young winners in the ninth round. So. Yeah.
And just putting this out there, catch this up. Year, excuse, they're drafting 20th.
Yeah, no, there should be someone that is, I mean, I really wanted, you know, like Jack Leiter. Obviously, the Yankees will not be
bad enough for that to happen. He's getting picked top three.
Top three.
He's very good. I wish he signed last year, but I understand. Or no, that was 2 years ago now. I keep thinking it's last year. But,
yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's going to be very good.
Kumar Rocker.
Yeah, another one. Yeah.
He's an athlete. I love that guy.
Don't let the Red Sox get either, please.
Oh, no.
I don't think they will.
They're not. The Red Sox are picking fourth or fifth. They're not getting them. Let's just say that.
I think Rocker's going to go number one for sure.
Rocker's going to the Pirates.
Yeah, and then I think Leiter will be 2-3, I'm guessing.
Well, look at us doing draft coverage. I love that.
Well, we're already a couple months early.
But. Honestly, if I were like a draft guy, if I were running the draft, I'd be like, find me a guy who could hit 30 homers, or find me a guy that throws 100 miles an hour.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's all about tools.
I would be the tools guy. I'd be like, hey, that Aaron Judge guy, he can run, hits dingers, can throw, big 6'7" guy. I want that guy. Draft.
I think it's all about tools and makeup if I were running a draft. But, you know, for the Yankees, when it comes to the whole Gary Sanchez situation, I think that they really do see Austin Wells, the guy they just drafted, as a guy that's going to take over that position in the next maybe 2 years, I would say. I think they really want to beat him. And he is a swing that's tailor-made for Yankee Stadium, really. I mean, as a whole, the Yankees really need more left-handed bats. I know many people say it's stupid. It shouldn't matter. The splits, you know, are good anyway against righties with the righties, which is true. Absolutely.
It's nice to have balance, though.
Exactly. I really do feel that you need just a little bit more balance, because the Yankees, how many lefties did we have in this year's lineup? One? Two?
Mm.
I mean, without Gardy, really, we had just Hicks, and he's a switch hitter.
You know, the more I think about it, the more I really love the Clark Schmidt pick, because he was going to be a top 10 pick if he didn't have Tommy John, and we took the shot on him.
No, that was a great pick. I think
Lucas Giolito was another guy like that with the Tommy John, and then he was a later first round pick, and then turned out to be higher.
You know what? Fuck it. Find me guys that throw 95 plus who just had Tommy John, and let's just draft all of them.
Sure.
Yeah. Go for it.
I'm a fucking genius. Let's go.
Tom, new scouting director. The Yankees.
Yeah. Take that, Oppenheimer. I'm coming for your ass.
Is there... Yeah. What else have we not discussed? Is that everything almost, or?
I think so.
Who are you picking to win the World Series?
I'm calling Rays.
I'm going Dodgers. Really?
I have a feeling the Rays have a little vibe to them going. I think they're going to shock everyone. And the Dodgers are going to do their usual thing and choke.
I'm going to say the Dodgers. I want to see Kershaw get a ring.
I think this is their year.
I want the Dodgers to win. I don't want to see the Rays win. I just have a feeling the Rays are going to pull it out.
Is that it? Is there anything else? Is there anything else at all?
In terms of the offseason, we'll probably hear more soon.
We'll do an offseason episode. We'll do another episode after the exit meetings that Cashman and Boone usually have.
Yeah.
And then we usually get some information from like Martino or some other reporters. Yeah. They have a little like something about the plan. And then they have their organizational meetings. Right.
Yada yada yada. So we'll do another episode after that stuff so we can. And then November, I think players are going to sign quickly this year. I just have a gut feeling because they don't know what's up with COVID. So that's my guess.
I mean, some of the winter meetings are still on, but I don't know how they're going to be able to do that.
We'll see.
Yeah. GM meetings already got canceled from November, so we'll see. But yeah, we'll get more into the plan for the offseason. I think I already have an idea of what's going to happen, but generally we always get information. Martino's usually pretty accurate. He was accurate about Machado.
Yep,
Harper and Garrett. What he says, I'm going to listen to. But I think I already have a good idea of what's going to come out of that. But we'll see.
I hope he shocks me with the Yankees will be signing Trevor Bauer and JT Realmuto and winning the 2021 World Series, but I doubt it.
Yeah, that's well, a, this will be the last episode
for a while. Man. Mm.
God damn.
Another year of pain in the book. Yep.
I just want to say thank you to everyone that has been listening. This has been a blast, and I've had a good time with my boys, Tom and Eddie. I can't wait for next season and the off-season rumors to finally start kicking in, because I'm already craving them. I am. I need some rumors. Yeah.
It's just the beginning of the Yankee Center podcast, too. So
yeah.
Keep listening.
All right, man. This has been great. Tom, Eddie, this has been a blast as always. Until next time, peace.
Peace. Yeah.